A study found the nipples of women who went braless were an average of 7 millimeters higher than those of the women who did not wear.
That's not very much, by the way, 7 millimeters.
Yeah, no, it's not.
I don't care. That's all you got?
Yeah.
Give me a couple inches. I want these things looking at the ceiling, not heading for the exits. You know what I'm saying? Or I don't care. That's not dramatic. That's not even, is it statistically significant? Probably
not.
Yeah,
I'm not looking for spare change on the floor.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah, hey, what's up?
Yeah, we're here today with some treats.
Yes, some gems.
This one, Jaquetta. Inspector finds restaurant kitchen infested with snakes.
Are you serious?
Yes.
No one else noticed?
Nobody else noticed. And
this might be one hell of an inspector.
I was like, oh, is this, you know, what country is this where the snakes are bountiful?
Yeah, or is it like on the edge of the rainforest or is it the Everglades?
And
like, what's going on?
That's totally acceptable. Yeah. You could see how it would happen.
Yeah. Just like any infestation. Just like you can't be shocked in New York if there's roaches somewhere.
Yes. An inspector to a restaurant making a shocking discovery. The kitchen was infested with snakes. It's disgusting, but not exactly a surprise to find restaurants infested with bugs, cockroaches, mice, and rats.
Yeah. All right. That's normal.
However, at the Pig and Whistle restaurant in Millington, Tennessee.
Wow.
Yeah.
That must be a common name because I was, when you said Pig and Whistle, I thought of at least two places. Is it a chain?
It's a chain.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's more southern.
Okay.
So Ben Vaughn, he's a restaurant consultant, was recording for the Food Network show Health Inspectors when he saw garden snakes in the corner of the restaurant.
Are you serious? So they got it on camera.
And the snakes were not very new residents either. A shed skin sat right next to the snake.
Probably shed it before that camera rolled. Quick. Get it out.
I'm ready for my close-up.
Yeah, it's a burlesque.
Yeah.
Did you see me slither out of it?
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
With the shed skin. The snake was right there.
How did the owners workers not see this and not be creeped out by it?
You know, it's not their job.
Really?
It's not their job. They're like, I'm here to serve the food.
I mean, I know garter snakes aren't dangerous to humans, but seriously, one snake. I don't need an infestation for me to be like, Joe, you need to clean this up.
Yeah. Still, the snakes eat mice and roaches. Or rats, rather.
Yeah. I mean, do garter snakes eat mice?
No.
I don't.
They don't.
They're not even performing a function.
Yeah.
They're literally just hanging out there.
Yeah.
I don't really know what kind of environment garter snakes like besides, my backyard.
Yeah. They like yards. So why are they in the restaurant?
In the kitchen. What kind of food was it?
Well, Pig and Whistle food.
Okay. I guess they like that.
But in the corner, everyone's just like, don't mind that.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Don't bother. So the show was about, is this restaurant clean?
Health Inspectors is the name of the show. And
why would anyone want to watch that?
Yeah.
I used to watch some cooking shows, and then I watched a couple of those shows where they come in, they remake a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when they go in the back and they show, like, this fryer has never been cleaned, I'm like, I need to turn it off.
That disgusting.
That creeps me out, you know?
Yeah, because it makes you think of every single restaurant. You ever walk by some of the Chinese food restaurants? Because they do a lot of frying.
Yes, the
and
oil.
Smelling that old oil. That old oil.
I found out that a lot of the Chinese restaurants, probably a lot of restaurants, they recycle is not the right word, but they capture the oil and then they dispose of it.
Yes,
somehow.
Yes.
But
a lot of places don't. They just keep reusing it.
Some places don't do that. And it's gross.
It's nasty.
I don't know.
So, anyway, snakes in the restaurant.
There was one Chinese food restaurant I went to that was doing a lot of frying, and they had this, I thought this was genius. On the backsplash, they had hot water, like boiling water coming down the backsplash continuously.
Oh, that's nice.
So no matter what they were cooking, all of the, you know, whatever was flying out of the pan or whatever just went on the back wall and then got immediately washed away.
Oh, that's
like hot
great.
I'm like, why isn't everybody doing that everywhere?
Well, I guess, electrical outlets and things.
They must have figured it out some way.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really cool. And the kitchen was spotless.
Man. The person that's like, this kitchen has to be clean at all times. The OCD that
it was
that
in a
person
casino.
Has. Oh.
So it was like, that's a place that's already full of dirt. Mm-hmm. You know, because you got people walking around, people are smoking, people are doing, like, so maybe that's why they did it, because it was open air.
Mm-hmm.
I worked once at a Hardee's, I think it was.
Did you?
For 45 minutes. Because I was like, you know, a lot of my friends are getting these, like, fast food jobs. This is, like, in the late 80s, I guess. I was like, I'll try it. I wasn't old enough to, like, drive, but I could walk to the mm-hmm. Hardee's. And I was like, this isn't going to work out. So they hired me. They're like, okay, come in for training. First of all, the uniform was an issue for me. Mm-hmm. The uniforms now are much nicer
are
for
they?
People working. Look, think about if you ever go to a McDonald's or, I don't go to McDonald's, but, you know, if you go into a fast food
sure.
place, see how people are dressed. The shit's not made out of polyester anymore. Like, my uniform, you could have folded it, like cardboard. Like, it was so
right.
uncomfortable
I remember
and
that was, like, a double-knit polyester. Mm-hmm. Those were the uniform, and they're all, like, tight and not cut right.
They didn't fit right. I felt like I was wearing, like, you know, maroon-colored scrubs. It was really bad. And I'm short, so I had to, like, roll it up.
Oh.
So they're like, okay, get dressed. I think I also had to wear a hat, which, as a black person, I was like, this is not going to work.
Yeah.
Baseball hat's not going to work. So they're like, go in the back and watch the health and safety video. So as I'm watching the health and safety video, I start looking around the room. Everything is covered with dirt, dust, grease, oil. I got so creeped out, I had to leave.
Really?
And I quit.
Wow.
Because I was like, this is our break room. It's disgusting. I can't even imagine. Like, I didn't even make it to where the food was made.
Mm.
I was like, I'm out of here. It was gross. In any case. So, every once in a while, I like to report on extreme sports, because I am not an extreme. I'm the opposite of extreme sportsman.
Okay.
I don't even do Zumba.
The mundane sports.
Yes. That is your sport that is safe. And calculated.
And repetitive.
And inside.
And low in intensity.
Yeah, if there's a carpet available and I can use that in my sport, even better.
Can you be on your back or side?
I would like to be.
Yeah.
So this is something I didn't know about. This is a street luge.
Street luge.
Do you know?
You could be on your back.
Yeah. It says the need for speed. A 58-year-old American street luge rider reaches a record. He went more than 100 miles per hour flat on his back on a street luge. So it's like a regular luge.
Yes.
But adapted to be on the road.
So wheels.
Like wheels.
It has wheels.
Yeah. In my mind, I'm thinking it's like a surfboard with like a couple of skateboards strapped on the bottom, mm-hmm. basically. So the old record was 97 miles per hour. I can't even imagine going that fast, just lying down on my back on the road.
I don't like moving fast.
Not on the road.
Yes. I know when you can feel that speed, I don't like it.
So this guy, he's an American entrepreneur, they say. He just invents stuff for street luge.
Mm-hmm.
He came out of retirement this week in order to break the record. To beat the record of 97 miles per hour. Let's be clear, though, that it's just who can go fastest downhill. I'm not sure, like, how, you know, what if there's technique involved. I'm imagining if you're, like, a heavier person, that might be better.
Right. And if you point your toes, you can keep them pointed for a long time.
But maybe this guy, because this is what he does, I imagine he, like, shaved his whole body.
And came out of retirement.
Yes.
I'm out of retirement,
boy.
And
he's wearing, like, a skin suit.
Yes.
Like, to cut down on, like, wind.
Oh, yeah. I see him, like, bursting out the front door. And they're smoking a cigarette.
So, he came out of retirement he's a professional street luger.
Ew.
Professional.
Okay.
By the way. He said, I sat with myself and talked to Esther, his wife, and did some deep searching to find his younger, more confident self. And that's what allowed him to beat this record.
Wait a minute. So he had to talk to Esther about finding his younger, more
mm-hmm.
confident self.
So he could luge better. Luge
Esther,
harder.
I wonder how that conversation went.
I have no idea.
Esther's like, you have to dig deep inside.
to luge.
For the 17-year-old in you.
Who will luge.
Yeah.
And
connect with him.
He invented... He's an inventor of skateboard and street luge equipment, and he's held this record many times in his mm-hmm. career. So he'd won like 10 times, and then some other guy came along and went a little bit faster, and he's back out.
Oh, and it totally messed with his confidence.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, what is my life about?
If I'm not number one in street luge, who am I?
Yeah.
Who am I? After his first retirement, the one that he came out of, he went into business and formed a company that manufactures skateboarding and luging equipment. He said, after all is said and done, I ended up going 100 miles per hour. It's the scariest, craziest, and most intense thing I've ever done. The previous record was broken in 2008 by Cedric Touchette. What a cool name. Of Canada. Who rode an amazing 97.81 miles per hour. If you Google Street Luge and you see the videos of it, it's really something that I would never, ever, ever want to do.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking road rash.
Oh, you know? One false move.
Yeah.
And you are, like, you have to, your skin is on the
ground.
Or,
like, what about those people we reported years ago, the Zorbing, where you get inside of a gigantic plastic ball and then roll down a mountain?
Yeah.
And they flew off the side.
Yeah.
Like, what if you have, like, I'm imagining a curve comes up.
Right.
And you don't get it right. And you just fly off.
Yeah.
And it's a Warner Brothers cartoon.
Right. Because the guardrail only goes so high.
What if you just slip right under it because you're flat on your back?
Absolutely.
Luge. So Street Luge, never seen it before.
And we'll never do it.
Yeah, we'll never do it.
I don't like going fast. I don't like skiing for that reason, because you go it's too fast for my eyes to, like,
I still haven't skied. I had a big plan this year, as I do every year, to go skiing. I bought lift tickets. I got I found a way to get picked up in the city and get taken. It was fucking warm. This was, like, in February. It was, like, one day. And they're like, it's just mud. So I wasn't able to go on the trip. The trip still went. I was at home sick, and I kept getting these phone calls. So I look up, they're like, we need you to get back on the bus. We're looking for you. Are you still on the slopes? I'm like, dude, I never got on the bus in the first place. He was like, oh, sorry. It was so bizarre.
So they did a head count. You
were
on the list.
Yes, and I wasn't there. But I wasn't there the first time. When you do a head count, elementary school teacher here, you count at the beginning of the trip.
And at the end.
And at the end, and they should match. They know they didn't see a black woman on that trip. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, unless it was the one day where they were just like an assload of black women.
Yeah, it was like all black women.
It's all black women. They're like, what do we know? They were looking for you. In any case, all right, what do you have?
Oh, my God. No, but I liked snowboarding when you only down on the bunny, slope. Because it was like gently going
down
the
hill. Did you snowboard?
Yes.
How'd it go?
You learn very fast. You learn in a weekend.
Okay.
And then you can stand up. It's like learning how to ride a bike. Once you get that center of balance, you're up.
Okay.
And then from there on, and it's all tricks and going down.
Did you do any tricks?
No.
Okay. You just did the ski over to the beer house.
Yes. My trick was not falling off the chairlift.
Okay. Which is something that I imagine never getting off the chairlift. Because, you know, you get up to the top, they're like, go. I'd probably just stay on it.
Yeah.
Like, next time.
Yeah.
When I come back around, I'm going to hit the slope like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, yeah. And it's a mark of, it's a huge embarrassment if you get off the chairlift wrong, if you fall going off the chairlift.
If you start out.
Yeah, nobody wants to be with you when that happens.
So you have this, you already have the board on you on the chairlift.
Yes.
And then you're just supposed to, like, slide off?
Yeah, you're supposed to kind of, like, hop off the chairlift and...
No. Yeah. In my mind, you take me to the top of the mountain, I will sit down on my butt, put the equipment on, then stand up.
No, if you were to ski, you would have to have your skis on. And then
why can't I just put my skis on at the top?
No.
And then have somebody give me a gentle push.
No.
This is wrong.
Get ready.
I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah.
I need to revolutionize the ski lift industry, because I'm not doing that.
Well, yes, you are. If you ever go skiing, that's going to happen.
How small was this hill?
The bunny slope? I don't know. It's not, the grade is not that steep.
Okay.
So it's okay. But you don't immediately go down the hill. You kind of hop off the chairlift, and you kind of go off to the side, and then you're at the top of the hill.
Okay, I'm envisioning you just get whisked off.
Oh, no.
And at the right moment, you just have to jump.
No.
Okay.
You're not at, like, going down the hill, going down the mountain.
That's what I was imagining.
On the onset, no.
Okay.
No,
so you do have time to go off to the side.
Yes.
I thought they were just kind of like a parachute, like, go.
No.
Go.
No.
Right. This is how little I know about skiing. I come here to learn. Okay, what do you have?
I have here the 5 surprising benefits of going braless.
Okay. Let me just say that I have no problem with people not wearing a bra. It's personally uncomfortable for me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to happen.
Right.
Unless I'm at home and I'm not moving around a lot.
Whenever I see, like, somebody who is endowed not wearing a bra, I'm like, whoa.
I'm amazed.
That is amazing.
I'm like, good for you. Especially if they're not kicking them by accident with their feet, which is probably what I would be doing.
Nothing feels quite as freeing as taking off a bra at the end of a long day.
True.
This is true. But
and it should be done with some ceremony.
Yeah.
I like to pull mine out the sleeve.
Yeah. Every good woman knows how to take off her bra underneath her shirt and pull it out her sleeve.
If you're ever, if a guy ever sees you do it, they're like, what are you doing? It's like, shoom.
Yeah.
It's like a magic trick.
Yeah.
I wish I could pull a lot of bras out of my sleeve, like 20 of them. Different colors.
Just keep going.
Yeah, and then some flowers. And then a huge deck of cards.
Yeah.
All aces.
Yeah. Okay. I think that was the scene in Flashdance. I think she was telling a story.
While she was pulling her bra?
Yeah, she had her sweatshirt on. And then she took off her bra underneath.
But it was just one bra.
Just one bra. So everyone's like, what is this one bra?
I'm going to pull out a bra. A rainbow flag. Some flowers.
Yeah.
A poster but then from Gremlins.
You know, got to take off the day bra. And then you put on
the
home bra.
Yes. And the home bra, the wire is angry. No, or it's not there anymore.
You know, you whip out, you take out the wire. There's no wire. There's no
bare.
Support.
Yeah, there's no support. It's just a piece of clothing.
Yeah.
Like, it was a bra. Now it's a bralette.
Yeah, well, apparently on October 13th is it's a day officially recognized as National No Bra Day.
October 13th?
Yeah.
Okay, we missed it.
We missed it, but...
Get ready.
Yeah, but anyway, but why would one go braless?
Comfort? I have some friends that I went to college with, they never wore bras. They found them really, really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And what I hear from people is that if you never start wearing it, as in most of the world, most of time, then you're fine.
Yeah.
But if you, because you remember training bras?
Yes.
I don't know what that's all about, because look at my tits. You know what I mean? Like, they learned nothing.
Yeah.
During that period.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like, you know, in our culture, as soon as anything happens, they're like, put a bra on it.
Yeah, oh yes, you got to get a bra on there, because like, the guys in class are like,
Yeah, because they're not going to do that anyway.
Yeah. All right, so here are 5 reasons, and I don't know if they're true or not, but
okay.
We can discuss them.
All right.
Bras do nothing for your boobs. Okay, so the impression wearing a bra may keep your boobs from sagging over time. In fact, the opposite is true. In a study in France's University of something, this one professor found that breast muscle tissue was stronger in women who did not wear a bra.
Mm-hmm.
The same study, which tracked women over a 15-year period, found that bras don't actually do anything to improve the overall health or appearance of your boobs.
Yeah, that I've heard. I believe that's true, but it's too late now.
But I also say, leave me alone. Don't follow me around for 15 years about my boobs.
And see how saggy my boobs are. With calipers.
Yes. Number 2, going braless improves circulation.
In what?
When you remove your bra and thereby removing the constricting band encircling your chest, mm-hmm. your circulation will improve.
Okay.
Better circulation equates a healthier and firmer skin.
Mm,
I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay. And 3, your boobs will be perkier.
Really? They never were.
Yeah.
study like, as soon as they happened, they headed for the floor.
A study found the nipples of women who went braless were an average of 7 millimeters higher than those of the women who did not wear.
That's not very much, by the way, 7 millimeters.
Yeah, no, it's not.
I don't care. That's all you got?
Yeah.
Give me a couple inches. I want these things looking at the ceiling, not heading for the exits. You know what I'm saying? Or I don't care. That's not dramatic. That's not even, is it statistically significant? Probably
not.
Yeah,
not looking for spare change on the floor.
Not trying to dip out the back, you know?
Or the side door.
Or the side door, yeah. And for the side exits.
4, it just feels better. Why not enjoy the end of the day comfort all day long?
Okay,
skipping the bra.
You addressed this with the second bra, the home bra.
The home bra.
If it was really that comfortable at home, I would never, ever wear a bra.
Mm-hmm.
It actually is comfortable. It has some kind of support.
You need a little bit of support.
Yeah.
A little something. Just to keep everything from going.
Yeah.
You know, because you move around, and then
exactly.
They move around,
too. They move around, too,
yeah.
So.
Try, like, you know, carrying around 2 buckets of water.
Yes, for example.
And then just the momentum.
Yes.
What it does to you.
It's just not, like, I like the home bra. I think bras could be a lot more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Victoria's Secret bras hate boobs.
Mm.
Like, that's not the way things should go.
They're really aggressive. They're,
but
like,
they're extremely aggressive.
Up,
separated, they're far apart from each other.
I
think it seems like younger women, though, are nowadays wearing more bralettes.
Oh.
And have it going, because I heard the 70s look is coming back.
Okay.
And that's a more natural, comfortable bra. I'm all about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got like something underwire, just, you know, who can
underwire and a demi bra is like asking way too much of your boob to stay in one
yes.
position.
Yeah, it's too much. They got to do some movement.
Mm.
But you don't want them, you know.
Okay, and 5.
Swinging.
5 here. Going braless gives you a chance to check things out.
Excuse me?
Ditching the bra for one day will give you a better opportunity to get up close and personal with your boobs in a way you would not if they were ensconced in fabric.
Huh?
I don't want to do that all day.
Has anyone heard of chafing? This is a real thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to get up and personal. They're here. They're right by my face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And so now's a good time to do that breast self-exam.
Okay. Well, yeah, you should do that anyway.
But it doesn't mean...
It doesn't mean...
Like you're going to do that all day long without your bra. Yes. That's ridiculous. I don't know about
all
this.
In mixed company?
I don't know about this.
The first one I've heard from a lot of people... That, yeah, not wearing a bra, you do retain more firmness because the muscles have to do the work that they would normally be doing. But it's also genetic.
Yeah.
You know, like some people, I have had a couple of colleagues who I was amazed. They were, older because this is when I was maybe in my 20s and they were like in their 40s or 50s, who had great boobs.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, I never wear a bra. That was an anomaly, though.
Yeah.
You know, mine were already heading for the exits.
Right.
And I'm looking at these women like, what? They hadn't had boob jobs. They were just naturally perky. But they were also very small.
Yeah.
So that's, you know.
Yeah, it depends on the size and your whole structure, your skin.
A D or up, you kind of have to, it's not comfortable.
No.
You know? Or watermelons, as some...
You can't just go around, like, daily activities. You can't clean, you can't do stuff without having some kind
That's
of
That's why the sports bra exists. Yes. That probably is closer to what we should probably be wearing anyway. That's comfortable.
Yeah.
And you can do... If you can do high-impact activities in it, maybe that's the way to go.
Exactly.
I don't know.
All right.
So we were just talking about this before we came in, that I'm putting the woolly mammoth... is kind of like the flying car of the paleontology world because they're always going to have it.
Yeah, they're always talking about bringing it back.
Yes.
Every year,
they're like, in a couple of years,
we're going to have a woolly mammoth and we're going to have a flying car.
So I have two things here. The first one is scientists have just made a surprising discovery about mammoths and the real reason why they went extinct.
Okay.
So they're saying it's not climate change. It wasn't that they were hunted down by humans. It was that they were a genetic mess. It says this, a genetic mess.
Ew.
It's saying...
That's a little rude.
Yeah, it is rude. So they found, I guess, the evidence of woolly mammoths on an island somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of woolly mammoth bones. And said apparently they had lost their sense of smell. I don't know how they obtained all this information. They had a bizarre shiny coat.
Okay.
And this is the best. And they avoided social interaction with other mammoths. So this is like a blinged out with a weave who can't smell anything and is standoffish.
Oh.
So I guess they're saying they just stopped mating.
It's just like...
But they had a fabulous head of hair.
They're like, I'm fabulous. I don't even need to deal with you. But also, when you lose your sense of smell, you lose your sense of taste.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's had anything to do with it.
The restaurants closed down and then everything fell apart.
Right.
The whole culture was upset. So they are studying the DNA, and this is what they found. No sense of smell, a bizarre shiny coat.
I don't know what bizarre is.
I don't even know how they could see that it was shiny. It's a major finding that could not only help us better understand how the species went extinct, but also provide insight and help us prevent the extinction of other threatened species. So if you see anything with a shiny coat, its days are numbered.
Ooh,
basically.
Okay.
Scientists want to understand.
Are you talking metallic or just that it's... Because I'm imagining like space age.
It says they want to understand genetic mutations. My idea is that if this was a small sample, if they were on an island, they could have just been inbreeding to the point where it just wasn't possible anymore. So it's not like they found woolly mammoths like this all over the world that had like this, you know, incredibly flamboyant... Well, and shiny hair.
Well, if they're a woolly mammoth team that's stuck on an island.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean.
That's like, come on. You can't.
It doesn't. There's not a lot of places to go with that. The researcher, Rebecca Rogers, said, when I first started this project, I was excited to be working with a new woolly mammoth sequence. It was even more exciting when we found what looked like bad mutations on a place called Wrangell Island. There's a long history of theoretical work about genomes in small populations, and we get a chance to look at snapshots of before and after population decline. So they're working on this project. The other thing that I wanted to bring out is that another group of scientists said they're going to bring us a woolly mammoth in about 10 years.
10 years from 2017.
10 years from now. Wow. So it vanished 4,000 years ago, but... they had the meeting in Boston of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, or AAAS. AAAS.
Okay.
Said that they are working on de-extinction.
It's not
Did you see Jurassic Park? People.
Nobody listens to Jeff Goldblum.
These animals were selected, right, for extinction. They said a Harvard team is just 2 years away from creating a hybrid embryo in which mammoth traits would be programmed into an Asian elephant. Mm-hmm. So they don't actually want to impregnate an Asian elephant with
racist.
This thing. Yes, because they don't want an animal to have to carry an offspring that they don't know what's going to...
Right.
I don't know if this thing is going to rampage its way out of the womb.
Right, like an alien.
Like alien.
Yeah, chew its way out.
So once they have the hybrid elephant-mammoth embryo together, which they're calling a mammophant. Mammophant. It would be partly elephant, but with features such as small ears, subcutaneous fat, long, shaggy hair, but not shiny, probably, and cold, adapted blood.
Subcutaneous fat, that's sweet.
Yes.
That's a nice way of putting it, right?
That's a nice way of putting it. And baby, it got back in the common parlance of the street. So they're trying to figure out a way to edit all the genes and, you know, put together this kind of embryo thing. So they said that this de-extinction effort raises massive ethical issues. I don't know about the ethics around this, but I feel like bringing back a creature that was selected for extinction means also bringing back whatever issues that creature may have had.
Right.
So we don't know that there's not something in that animal's DNA that is caustic to us or to the environment, or that it would even be able to survive.
And then mixing it with some of the DNA of another species.
Yes.
Like,
I don't know.
You're not getting a mammoth.
Jurassic Parks 1-4.
Yeah.
See how this turns out. So they're trying to, one of the problems is they first have to create an ex vivo womb so that this thing will have a place to gestate.
And how big is it going to get?
I have no idea. This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I have no idea. So they're trying to make a huge ex vivo womb. They said that the lab has already created an artificial womb for mice and they grew a mouse for 10 days. But it takes 20 days for a mouse to gestate. So, congratulations.
Yeah.
I don't feel like half a mouse.
Ew.
You know what I mean? That's
just the front half.
Yeah, just the front.
Yeah.
Just the squeaky part.
Oh.
Tail, no. Back legs, no. Ooh. And there's no fur. So, they're working on that. So, they're saying that because they don't want to put it into a live elephant, that it might take a little bit longer to get this thing
together. Yeah, yeah.
But in my mind, I think the only thing that can come out of this is a rampage. Is that not what elephants do?
You know what? We're going to see this mammoth.
Stampede.
Mammoth when cars fly.
Yes, exactly. They'll come at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
And that's going to be the logo for the flying cars, a mammoth on the side.
But they're just going to stampede.
Yeah.
I think that's the first thing I would do as a mammoth when I got out of that ex vivo womb is run down everybody.
Yeah.
I could.
Yeah, God, and yeah, we don't know the temperament.
No. It's not going to be, people are thinking cute, like something from
Sesame Street. Oh,
yeah.
Like, oh, Snuffleupagus.
No.
It's going to be like that.
We
no,
have
it's
no
not.
Idea what this is. And also, this animal is evolutionarily predisposed to hate humans because we hunted it.
Yeah.
Almost to extinction.
There.
Apparently, except for these ones that I talked to before that had the shiny coats.
Yes.
That made it to the island.
See, again, we're not bright.
No. Leave it alone. I don't know. So the mammoth, it's coming. All right. Oh, do we have some listener mail?
Yes, we have
Yay.
Listener mail plus advice on advice.
Awesome.
Pick up the R's.
This is from Katrina G.
Oh, thanks, Katrina.
Yes,
she's
thank you. Yes, you are the best, Katrina. It says, Dear Jaquetta and Katie, I have advice on advice bit for you. This is from Slate's Dear Prudence. And I think that the current Prudence is pretty weak. She's too young for one, and it shows sometimes.
Wow.
Yes. Well, yeah. When you're too young, you don't have that experience.
Why would you want advice from a young person? I want as old a person as possible.
Yes. But in this one, I'm not sure where I'd land.
Okay.
And then in parentheses, she says, I've pasted the whole story saga below. Amusingly, on the same page, there was another question. Is he just into my cat?
Excuse me?
There was one in there. Is he just into my cat?
Wow. Well, and there's not a euphemism. Yeah. They're actually talking about
an actual cat.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes, where did they find these people? Okay. She goes on to say, I'm sure you two will have some more useful comments about it. All best, Katrina.
Thank you,
Thank
Katrina.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. The question is for Prudence, young Prudence.
Okay. Young Prudy.
He cheated, but my behavior was worse.
How? What did you do?
I've been with my boyfriend for over 10 years. Mm-hmm. We have a great relationship with normal ups and downs over the years. I've recently suspected he might be cheating, but after searching his phone, I couldn't find any evidence.
I feel like if I ever have to look through my partner's phone, that's it.
Right.
Something's wrong. You know, yeah. I don't want to do that.
I confronted him with it and he denied it. Well, after coming home from an annual OBGYN appointment, I cried to him that I was diagnosed with herpes. I was so upset and again brought up his potential cheating as it's the only way I could have gotten an STD. Mm-hmm. He broke down and admitted to an infidelity.
With somebody who had the gift that keeps on giving.
And was devastated he gave it to me. We'd done some real work and are back on track, but I made it all up. I was never diagnosed, but
what?
Thought the lie would get him to confess. It did, and I feel awful. Am I a monster?
Why would you lie about having herpes?
I feel my transgression was almost worse than his. How do I move on?
Okay, first of all, lady, you should have come up with another disease that can be gotten rid of. Because herpes never goes away.
Yes, it never goes away, right.
It goes into, remission?
Right.
And then it comes back out.
Yeah,
when you're stressed or whenever your immune system is depressed in any mm-hmm. way. But why pick that one? Mm-hmm. Why do you go with the clap?
Yeah.
You know?
Got the clap from you.
Yeah. What's going on?
And then...
Did he go back to that person and be like, dude, did you give me herpes? Mm. Or lady, did you give me herpes?
Right, right. And what...
Like he's
and then
find
he did
out.
It. Then like, there was no yeah. herpes. And he's like, I don't know.
Okay. Why? You just made a bad choice.
It was just a bad choice, but flushing him out with
this. Flushing him out, great, fine, whatever, it worked, but you shouldn't have picked herpes.
So you don't, there's no issue with saying, hey, I have herpes, but to
not
get
yet.
That information?
Not yet.
Okay. All right, so the advice.
Oh, no, I'm saying it's wrong, but I'm saying like this... Like, if you're going to lie, mm-hmm. you know, you gotta come up with something that you can keep going.
Yeah,
you can't
keep
herpes going. You can't.
So, it's the idea that she has to come clean about mm-hmm. the herpes, the non-existent herpes.
I don't have herpes. If this guy was screwing a lot of people, now he's got to go back to everybody and be like,
I don't have herpes.
I don't have herpes.
Advice. I have so many questions about this. Chief among them is why...
Herpes.
If you were trying to force your boyfriend to admit he cheated on you, you'd choose to fake having one of the most common STDs imaginable. One roughly 1 in 6 Americans have. And that you could have easily contracted but not noticed before you met him.
That's her thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, if your boyfriend had gone and gotten tested immediately after you revealed you had herpes and found he did not have the virus, mm-hmm. you could have been almost immediately found out. Regardless.
that's the other problem, right?
Regardless, you two have not, in fact, done some real work and are nowhere near back on track because he doesn't know you are willing to pretend to have an STD in order to get what you want out of him.
Mm-hmm.
There is a complete and total breakdown of trust in your relationship, and you two do not belong together.
I just realized she's claiming to have herpes to save the relationship.
Yes.
that's an interesting use of an STD.
There is no healthy, sustainable love story that includes, I knew he was cheating, but he wouldn't admit it. So after going through his phone, I falsified medical information to get him to confess, and now everything's great.
Okay. I think this is, I wish we knew what kind of person the guy was, because he was cheating on her and lying and mm-hmm. probably covering it up. Mm-hmm. He might be okay with this. He might be like, you did what you had to do to find out about this cheating.
Yeah.
It sucks. I'm glad I don't have herpes, though. Thank
yeah.
you. you could cover it that way. The bad news is I'm a liar. The good news is you don't have herpes.
Yeah, right.
Surprise.
What you could and should have done when you become convinced he was cheating, even if he was not willing to admit it,
chlamydia.
End the relationship.
Yeah, but she didn't want to. This
wants to find out.
She wanted to know.
Yeah.
But I don't think she wanted to end the relationship.
What do you do? Like, if you think somebody's cheating on you, do you just say, I'm ending it because I really think so? without the information, or do you?
I don't know. I just
do
feel
you
like
have to get the answer.
I have never been in this situation before. Because, you know, when I was younger, after 6 months, I cut and run anyway. Like, there wasn't time
right.
to cheat on me.
Right.
But I feel like and I've never been in a serious relationship with someone and suspected they were cheating before.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if I suspect someone is cheating, that means I can't trust that person.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I could trust them again. Like, you know, I feel like it would always be in the back of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what could they do to make me think they weren't cheating after
yeah.
I suspect that they're cheating? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah, if you're already suspect, but if you suspect somebody's cheating, there has to be some
some
big red flags.
Yeah.
Or do you just not trust people and say, hey, I think everybody's cheating?
That's the other thing. Like
is that more?
So I either
thing?
Have to, if there are some really clear signs of cheating, there usually are.
Mm-hmm.
Like people start acting shady,
mm-hmm.
or they say they're one place and they're not there, or you just kind of, you know, get a feeling
mm-hmm.
for it. And if your partner has been with someone else, I think sometimes, and it's gross, but I think you can sense it. You can
mm-hmm.
smell it. You
yeah.
can see, you know, something is changed about
yeah.
them.
It kind of, it comes through somehow.
Yeah, somehow.
And it's like, their whole behavior changes and everything.
You can perceive it.
But sometimes people don't admit it. So you're
yeah.
this is all happening. And it's kind of almost a gaslight situation. You feel like they're like, I'm acting this way. And it all indicates this.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, no, you're not even, this isn't even happening.
But I also don't know of many situations in which someone has suspected that their partner is cheating and their partner wasn't cheating.
Mm.
It's always been amongst people that I know that they had a suspicion and they were right.
Yeah, right.
So that's why I would think I might err on the side of like, I suspect this person is cheating. Obviously, if I ask them, they're going to say no,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. What do you do besides this?
Yeah.
I mean, not herpes, but I mean, like,
right.
start following them. I don't want to find myself in a situation where I'm in a relationship with someone and I'm looking through their phone.
Mm-hmm.
That means I just don't trust the person.
Right.
For my friends, I've never suspected that my friends were doing something that would hurt our friendship.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. It's a tough one. I mean,
yeah.
she found out that she was right,
mm-hmm.
and is there any way to find out without this kind of subterfuge?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because they're going to say, he said no.
Yeah. yeah, he said no. And they're all, you know, are they going to say?
Yeah, they're not going to say yes.
Yeah.
I mean, are they?
Unless you have, like, this some kind of proof or something
yeah.
to say, hey, you know, I saw you with X
yeah.
person. I, you know, you were doing this, but then there's always an excuse. Oh, we're just, you know,
we're just friends, or that was just she made a pass at me, or
mm-hmm.
he made a pass at me, that kind of thing. I don't know. Let's hear what the rest of this.
Okay. Okay. So back there, we were saying what you could and should have done when you became convinced he was cheating, even if he was not willing to admit it, was end the relationship.
Yeah.
You know, if you no longer trust your partner and believe they are lying to you, you do not need evidence to break up with them. You can simply say, I no longer trust you, and I don't believe that you say you're being faithful. If I can't trust you, then we can't be together.
Et voila.
Yeah.
The Jaquetta Samari method.
And walk away from this relationship with your head held high. As it is, you're going to have to tell him. The reason you feel awful is because you have done something awful. This does not make you a monster. Such dramatics are unhelpful to you at present. Beating yourself up as a monster would, in fact, act as sort of a guilt release valve. As long as you beat yourself up as a terrible person periodically, you won't feel the need to confess because you already have been punished.
I mean, I guess here, now that I'm listening to this and thinking about it again, he cheated, you lied, bust up out of there, let him find out he doesn't have herpes later.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't worry. Really, like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I don't have herpes.
Well, I think the question here for her is, like, am I worse than he is for lying?
Oh, who cares? Just leave.
Yeah.
There's no, I mean, like, on a scale from what? From one to asshole? Like, where? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, you both, and I'm not saying two wrongs make a right, but unfortunately, you felt that you had to do this to find out the truth. Now you have the truth. Just go.
Mm-hmm.
If he hasn't gotten himself tested already, I don't know what's wrong with him.
Yeah.
If my partner told me, hey, I got herpes, I'd be like, I'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to the clinic immediately. This is New York City. I can go downtown, find a clinic, get tested right away.
Yeah, exactly.
So you don't have to tell him he doesn't have herpes. He's going to go find out.
when he'll find out.
He's gonna find out on his own. Okay. And you probably should not be there when that happens.
Well, but he already admitted his transgression.
I think there's too much lying and stuff has gone on in this relationship. I don't know how they would repair both of these things. Mm-hmm. Like, both of these things are bad. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's like, you guys maybe don't need to be together. Like, lesson learned. Stop dicking around, literally. Stop, you know, stop the lying.
Yeah.
And find someone you can trust. But I think this relationship is over. It doesn't matter who's right or who's wrong. She should be lucky that she didn't pick up anything from him for real.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
I wonder if she was like, you know, I have herpes, if he was like, I'm not surprised. Like, just herpes?
Yeah, I think that, you know? Yeah, I think that it's the thing, and I don't know how old they are. But if you, well, they've been with each other for over 10 years.
Yeah. So let's say they're in their late 20s, mid to late 20s. Yeah, I don't know. This is bad. I would say just leave the relationship.
Yeah, if you think somebody's cheating on you.
Yeah. How can you, I don't know. That's a tough one. Mm-hmm. I've never been suspicious of anyone I've dated, so I don't know. I'm just talking from, you know, what I think I would do in that circumstance. I know, though, that I'm not going to go looking through someone's phone.
Yeah.
I would just probably confront them right away.
Mm-hmm.
And if, when people are lying, I think you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And then you have to take that, you have to act on it. However, if you think you can talk it out and repair it, then do so. If not, get out of there.
Yeah.
Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying the gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
But still, I understand her thing where you want proof. You want to know for sure. And
because you don't want to, well, you're hoping you're wrong.
Yeah.
No, you're looking through the phone hoping not to see anything.
Yeah.
Or you're pulling this herpes stunt.
Right.
Not, you know, hoping that he will be like, you know, why would you have herpes? Are you cheating? Because I don't have herpes.
Right. No, you want an answer, but it's like you have to realize that you're never going to get that answer.
Yeah. I mean, they're lying cheat.
Yeah.
That's what they do. Huh. Is the cat one on there as well?
No.
Or that was just a mention.
No.
Katrina, you tease.
Yes.
Is he just into my cat? Yeah. Is this some guy who's just coming over to your place to hang out with your pets?
Yeah. I know, right? He's just coming over. Right.
So I just wanted to bring one more thing is Bigfoot. We've talked about Bigfoot, Sasquatch.
Sasquatch. Yes. Sasquatch.
In the past.
Yes.
And apparently there was a Bigfoot sighting in Idaho recently, like 2 days ago, basically. So this is fresh, hot off the presses. And it says, local researcher says recent Idaho Bigfoot sighting seems credible.
Mm-hmm.
It seems credible. Northern Idaho woman recently made national news. I don't know if Northern Idaho is a thing. What that means.
Yeah.
Recently made national news after she blamed a car crash on Sasquatch.
Well, in Southern Idaho.
That would never happen.
Yeah.
Now a noted local Bigfoot researcher is saying that her story seems credible on the surface. I think he took it down a notch.
Yeah.
Oh, it seems credible
on the surface.
On the face of it. But it might make sense.
When you get to the meat of the story.
When you cut into it. And I love this guy's name, Dr. Jeff Meldrum. Doesn't that just sound like a wacky scientist? Professor of anatomy and anthropology, has been at Idaho State University. I don't know if that's in the north or south. Has been researching Bigfoot sightings for years, and he said the woman's claim is not out of the realm of possibility. He won't say it's batshit.
Mm-hmm,
like, According to an article in the Moscow Pullman News Daily, the 50-year-old resident of Townsend told police she saw Sasquatch chasing a deer on the side of the road while driving on the highway.
Chasing a deer. How fast does Sasquatch run that he could chase a deer?
He's like the wind.
Okay.
Okay. His shiny coat, signifying that he'll soon be extinct, was flopping in the breeze.
Oh, no.
Then she checked her rearview mirror to get a second look. First of all, if I'm riding down the highway and I think I see Sasquatch chasing deer, I'm not looking at shit. Yeah. I'm hot-footing it out of there.
Right.
I'm putting the pedal to the metal and I'm gone.
Are there more Sasquatch that are going to chase more deer?
More deer, yeah. Then she checked her rearview mirror to get a second look at what she described as 7 or 8 foot tall shaggy, quote-unquote, creature. I don't know why Shaggy's in quotes. I feel like it's fine.
It's on its own. It's honest, Shaggy yeah. stands, yes.
On the surface.
Yes.
But when she looked up, the deer ran in front of her, and she struck the animal with her Subaru Forester. Okay, let's recreate this.
All right.
So she's driving along. She looks, and she sees Bigfoot running alongside of her car chasing a deer. Then she looks in the rearview mirror. I guess the deer outpaced Bigfoot, and then the deer cut in front of her Subaru.
Wait a minute. She saw Bigfoot running alongside her car.
Yeah, so it says, she saw a Sasquatch chasing a deer on the side of the road while driving at night, while driving on Highway 95. Then she checked the rearview mirror to get a second look at it.
Okay, so she passed them both.
She passed them both. Then she looked in the rearview mirror, and during that time, the deer managed to
evade.
Out, yes, to elude Sasquatch.
Yes.
Get out in front and then jump in front of her car.
Oh.
And.
Well, deer are going to do that.
Yeah, but it's weird. There's something weird about that story, right? That they were behind her, or I don't know, Bigfoot was slow. I mean, I don't know what happened. Even though Meldrum has not interviewed the woman making the claims, he says the story does seem credible due to how she handled the sighting in the aftermath. She sounds like a credible witness. Her first response was to report it to the sheriff and not Facebook. So that, right away,
yes.
means that this probably happened. It didn't go on social
yes.
media first.
Yes.
Meldrum also said that the whole scenario seems plausible, especially considering the time of year and the location, which is near a heavily wooded national forest. I think all of Idaho is a heavily wooded national forest.
Mm-hmm.
They said this is also the time of year when you would expect Bigfoot to be chasing deer.
Exactly.
So it's deer season for Bigfoot.
Yes.
When it's malnourished at the end of winter. So it's hungry
all
now.
Right. Because the deer have their babies in the spring.
Is he trying to get one of them?
Yeah.
The full package?
Tender, yes. Tender doe meat.
He said there's some other possibilities for the sighting. It could have been a bear emerging and looking for a meal.
Probably.
But I didn't know that bears chase deer. Like, I'm not a naturalist, but
yeah,
I didn't know this was a thing.
They let them come to them. They
yes,
don't chase.
They don't chase deer. There's also the possibility that there was a prank. In 2012, a man dressed as Bigfoot was running around along the highway.
What man?
A man.
Just a man. I thought, okay.
What did I say?
I thought you said something like a 12-foot man.
No, in 2012.
Oh,
man.
In 2012.
Yes. If you're a 12-foot man, you don't also need to dress as Bigfoot. Like, you have something going on there that you could work with.
I know.
So it's like, it's not enough. I'm like, I need to get into a costume.
I saw a 12-foot Sasquatch, and it's like, we all know it's Paul, because he's 12 feet tall.
He's 12 feet tall, and he was buying a shitload of fur last week in town.
Yeah.
I don't even know where you would get a costume. He's like, if you're over 6 feet tall, you're probably not going to be able to get just the off-the-rack
yeah.
Bigfoot costume. You're
yeah.
probably going to have to, you know, either learn how to do it yourself yeah. as a tailor or hire someone. In any case, so in 2012, a man dressed in a Bigfoot costume was trying to drum up sightings by running up and down along the highway. And you can imagine what happened to him. He yeah. got struck by a car.
Sure.
Of course. But what fascinates Meldrum...
But he was wearing clean underwear.
Yes, he was. What fascinates Meldrum most about the case in northern Idaho is how much interest the story has been generated. It's been picked up all over.
Oh.
It's on national and some international news. And he thinks it struck a chord because it was so mundane. He was bored by it.
I was bored yes. by the story.
Yes, because
of
the story is so boring, everyone picked it up.
Okay. That's what they do when stories are boring.
In the end, the police reported it just as a regular deer vehicle collision. They did not mention Bigfoot in the official report.
Good.
And then later in this month, Meldrum is going to be making two presentations at the National Oregon/California Trail Center in Montpelier regarding the subject of Bigfoot. Amazing how just right before his big lecture is coming up, someone manages to see Bigfoot in the area.
What timing?
Yeah, what timing? So his first presentation is called Sasquatch and Other Wild Men. This sounds like a self-help book.
Yeah, right. It's when all the men go to the woods and find their inner Sasquatch.
Yes. Sasquatch and Other Wild Men, the search for relict hominoids.
I love hominoids.
Yes. And then also, it's the 50-year anniversary of the Patterson-Gimlin film that we talked about.
Yes, we did.
Which is the footage that we all saw.
This is the iconic Bigfoot footage where the Bigfoot is in the woods and he turns his head to look at the camera.
Briefly.
Yeah.
And then he goes back.
And his arms sway.
Yeah, it's very 70s, though. Yeah. I always like the picture wearing cutoffs for some reason. I feel like that's the way it would go.
Cutoffs.
Denim. Jorts. If you will. Yeah, because this year is the 50th anniversary of the controversial film.
No, I'm sorry. Jorts go down to the knee and are cuffed.
You're right.
There's denim cutoffs.
These are cutoffs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is the 50th year anniversary of what we called big footage in a previous episode. So, keep an eye on Meldrum. He's got a lot going on this month. And Bigfoot as well.
Nice.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com.
Thanks.